Blog Talk Radio.
Point. I'm Don Allen with my co-host, Mr. Ron Edwards, over in Studio B. Mr. Edwards, it's another great sunny day here this morning in the Twin Cities.
A beautiful day. I imagine a lot of people are out talking about the two constitutional amendments, which, you know, I mean, that's great, particularly the voter ID, except it, all the indications and early polls would indicate that the voter ID is going to pass. And so black folk better make sure they got identification. Or they won't be allowed to vote. In fact, they probably won't be allowed to be on the streets because it's just another half step before you start talking in terms of identification in order to justify movement back and forth within a society. It's like the apartheid laws in South Africa.
Yeah,
that would probably be the best reference point for the African Americans.
Yeah.
But also, you know, with these so-called activities, it didn't look at the most important threat facing the African American community, and that is jobs, employment, you know what I mean? Economic presence, and et cetera. It's been very clever how the Democrats have worked that along with the Republicans, taking folks off issue, if you will, off point, if you will. But hey, you know, I imagine some point down the line we'll be told whoever wins that there'll be a plan in place. Hope you got that long to survive, you know what I'm saying? What do we got, Don?
On that note, what you're just talking about real quick, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Mississippi codes back in the 1800s for that you kind of restricted the movement of black folks with the ID thing. And as far as the voter ID, Mr. Edwards, I'm kind of undecided on that, but we'll get back to that. Well, we have a huge show today for this hour. It's a call-in show, so listeners out there are welcome to call in and voice their opinions. But I think that we should actually start off by talking about the Minnesota Vikings Stadium and the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority.
John, could you just give our listeners that telephone number in case they want to call in after we get through with this overview of big, big money being spent?
Yes. The call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And the switchboards are open. So go ahead, Mr. Edwards.
No, we were talking about you were talking about some big money being spent. You have an interview, Don. You did an interview with one of the first WBEs, Women Business or Women Enterprise Business, $500,000 contract to a Caucasian woman out of New Prague, Minnesota. You know, I think it'd be nice to play that. That interview was interesting when you started asking her questions about her real affirmative action knowledge.
Yeah, it was very interesting because she started. Matter of fact, let's just play the interview and then go from there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. This is an interview here, and you'll hear her name here shortly, and then we'll go over to explain it to you here. Here it is.
My name is Amy Trigason.
And your company?
Is Chase Engineering.
And you are the structural engineer for the Viking Stadium?
Yes, I'm on the team with
and
Thomas.
You said you were at WBE,
so a woman-owned business enterprise in the state of Minnesota.
Okay, and then did you have to submit an affirmative action plan?
I had to, my involvement with that program was I had to submit my middle of qualifications to the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority involved in this process,
So that include the affirmative action plan? I guess my point is I'm asking you're a woman-owned business, but what about diversity within your ranks?
There's also the minority business enterprise that's also involved, and Mr. Palanasamy is that counterpart. So there's qualifications, there's requirements for a certain percentage for women-owned business and also for minority.
Okay, and do you do any business with residents in North Minneapolis as far as hiring, and have you considered anything like that?
I will consider that because I am a licensed structural engineer. I need people that are licensed.
I understand. Okay, well, thank you for your time today.
Okay, Mr. Edwards, that was the interview with Miss Amy, the new Prague, Amy Tungstad, T-Y-N-G-E-S-T-A-D.
Ah, Don, got to correct. You know, that's interesting, Amy, because her spelling on a website that we clandestinely reviewed at her address at 609 Dowry Southeast, New Prague, Minnesota, the spelling is P-R-I-G-E-S-T-A-D.
Oh, wow. Wow, interesting.
Yeah, we ran our covert operations, and I thought that I had heard that. She has quite a resume as a one-person shop, and she's worked for AVR, and she's worked for some other Ericsson. This is normally something you do when you're working as a front. Now, her contract was for $500,000, right?
Yes, sir. It was for $500,000 contract in concrete, actually, which proves to be suspect, to say the least. One-person shop in New Prague, Chase Engineering, $500,000 contract for concrete, basically. And so.
Now she's going to pour concrete, or she's going to consult on how to pour concrete?
I think that she's going to consult on how to pour concrete and bring people in. And she's part of a team, as she said, and which is still not identified by the Minnesota Sports.
Well, let me. I can help us here. That okay. Would be a team put together by HKS, the big. Mechanical, electrical, architectural firm out of Dallas, Texas, who was awarded the $40 million contract for architectural design and work on the stadium, the People's Stadium, by the way. So they selected another, what is called prime subcontractor, which, by the way, was not in the memos or information provided to our the public yesterday. But we have a tendency also, we're taking a look at something called exhibit. Oops, I shouldn't say exhibit. It makes it sound like it comes out of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Resolution number 2012-8, again, pulled up as part of our covert operations. And so she is assigned to and working with whatever the firm was that was selected as the prime subcontractor by HKS out of Dallas, Texas, if you will. This comes also at a time when some operations had already been set up over the last number of months. Oops. By the way, the concrete thing, that's going to cut across Thor Construction. And Robbie Norman and Richard Copeland, because normally they get that concrete action. Oops.
Yeah.
And that's gonna kind of cut across them, because she will be advising on women, and then there's a Native American who she did not mention, really, who also received a $500,000 contract. He'll be dealing with the minorities. So that means that a lot of the brothers that normally come in for a play will not be getting that play. Specifically, Copeland and Thor were kind of cut out of the process. The only way they'll be able to get in now is that when the general construction contractor is selected in about 3 weeks, that's $753 million, Don, $753. Mm-hmm. They will have to try to negotiate with the general construction contractor as it pertains to coming in that way. Right now, all doors are closed with respect to the architectural contract with HKS of Dallas. So that's closed, okay? And, I mean, you know what I'm saying, Don? It's nothing personal, you know what I mean?
Oh, nothing personal at all.
It's just business, man, taking care of business, you know, making sure that the white community more than gets its fair share.
Exactly.
Yeah. And by the way, that phone number is open. You know, sometimes people like to call Jekyll and Hyde, if you will, maintain that we aren't right. By the way, looking at the state-authorized central certification program directory, can't find to the best of your knowledge, how does she spell the name of her business? Maybe it's a German spelling.
It's Chase Engineering.
Would you say D?
Chase, no, C with a C. C.
That's what I thought. But I thought maybe it was a German spelling coming out of New Ulm. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, Don, it's not in the big book. And if it's not in the big book, then when you asked that question about affirmative action, that's the reason there was so much hesitation and lack of knowledge, understanding, transparency, because she's never been certified. And, boy, the sports facility authority had promised that they would never allow that to happen, but that's already happened.
Well,
I mean, that's important that, you know, she's not certified.
Yes.
Could not authenticate her relationship, and so that means that money will be passed back to HKS.
Yes, and I also like to tell you, in the story in the Finance and Commerce, Friday, October 26th, Mr. Edwards, you are actually tagged in the story. It has Ron Edwards. I cannot see the story because it is a paid site, but they will probably release it here to the general public by Monday, or else I'll pick up a copy of Commons and Finance. The writer, actually, it is the minority end of it. I just pulled this up, just saw it. The minority end of it is Pelisami and Associates.
That's the Native American?
Yeah, that is.
Could you give us the spelling over the air, Mr.
Yes, it is Pelisami and Associates. That's who she referenced as handling the minority.
Okay.
And they handle parking ramp consulting and precast concrete design engineering.
Okay. And the first two initials were PA, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the first two.
PAL?
PALANISAMI.
Okay. As we're talking for our listening audience, I am reviewing via computer the information. And, geez, Don, I don't see any certification information for Pelly either.
Well, from their website, they look like a small shop, a more of a consulting firm than to actually go out in the trench with your hard hat and dig type of firm. So they might
kind of like a one-person shop.
Yes, exactly. So that's just from the website, and I'm just speculating. But the thing is, what their names have shown up, Chase Engineering and this Pelisami and Associates have shown up before with Wanda Kirkpatrick and the Met Council on several different occasions. And in the state of
Minnesota, they're what we call their rummies.
Yeah.
They're called rummies.
Yes. And in the state of Minnesota, you know, that affirmative action plan, which everybody talks about, if you have under 40 employees, Mr. Edwards, you do not have to submit a affirmative action plan, which means that, you know, this $500,000 contract, there are really no rules or regulation for inclusion and hiring from this firm, because I even asked her about diversities within her ranks.
Would
she hire people from North Minneapolis? And she basically said, well, you know, I'm a structural engineer. You need, and I'm pretty sure we could find at least one structural engineer in the black community somewhere out there. And,
well, let me say this. This group that was formed by Keith Baker from the Department of Transportation, and he volunteered really to take a temporary leave. At least he took a leave. Wanda Kilpatrick and Aaron Karski, who were retained yesterday officially, though they've been on the job for 3 weeks. He formed a group called the Vikings Stadium Consortium, VSC,
mm-hmm.
Which was allegedly comprised of you know, contractors or owners of mechanical, architectural, the businesses, and et cetera. And while I'm not sure that these groups even belong to the VSC group, but here's what happened. They were formed. They tried to enter into negotiations. And initially, Ted Mondale told me in a meeting back on the 14th of August, he told, I think it was Louis King, in a conversation, they were doing the what was the Negro Ron Edwards talking about. And they initially were saying that there was no equity plan. We haven't even began to talk about the equity plan.
Yes.
And what the Brotherhood there said was that they didn't know what yours truly was talking about, though we are on the record since early July with the Sports Facility Authority as asking where was Velma Corvell's equity plan. Yesterday, for our listening audience, the chairwoman of the Sports Facility Authority indicated that it may be ready in a month or 2 months. Don, what that will do, and when we were having our production meeting, that means that the contract for the master general contractor, $753 million, will have already been let. And if the specific requirements for diversity is not in the language, the contract language, then nothing will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that becomes crucial. In light, as example, the only amount of money that will now be identified as minority participation for the remainder of this project until July 2016 is the insurance money that was paid out and has been paid out since early July to an African-American insurance underwriter, Brother Ezell Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. In fact, don't we have a little something there? Wasn't there a little something there that came up yesterday? Oh, that's right. Mr. Mondale indicated that wanted to appreciate, show his appreciation for the role that, and what's the name of the new insurance company Mr. Jones has? Is it Insurance Associates?
AIG. I think it's AIG. Let me just look that up. I did not print that out for the studio. Oh, someone's getting it to me right now. It's AIG. We do have that form with the...
Well, now, AIG is a very, 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 very large, prestigious white firm that went belly up almost in 2008 until President Barack Obama bailed him out. So he is an agent for...
Let me just make absolutely sure. I have someone running me up that... that copy right now, and I that again.
Uh-huh.
I left it by the printer, but we'll look at that. But in the meantime, while that's on the way down here, there's a lot of interesting action items being kind of taken, and then the public is being informed post these action items being taken.
Long after the fact.
Yeah, and so I find that very...
Long after the fact. Don, just for the purpose of information, because we only have an hour program today, just want to give another example of how things are working out, how Minnesota's money, though, is also being taken out of the state of Minnesota, with the exception of AIG's, whatever AIG's fee is to Mr. Jones for services rendered. All the money is going out of the state of Minnesota. I will give you an example. The environmental consultants contract, which was very quietly consummated on August 3rd, 2012, to a firm out of Greensboro, North Carolina, Kimberly Horn, and it's actually the name of the firm is Kimberly-Horn and Associates. Only problem is it's owned by two men. That will be shown as a women's business enterprise. And so that will be identified, and that basically will cement, if you will, minority participation, and then we can move on to play games with the 32% hours. But by the way, the contract for Kimberly Horn and Associates was $747,096.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually a rabbit for HBS out of Dallas, have done quite a bit of little work for HKS, and basically come in and you know serve up the we're hiring women and minorities.
Okay, I have the form in front of me, Mr. Edwards. It's actually AIA, which is Associate Insurance Agent.
Mm-hmm.
The president is Jeff Mast. And I have a letter here signed by Sue Aron with the packet that kind of shows the detail of the certificate of liability insurance and the agreement between the stadium and the stadium authority and the insurance agency.
Okay. And who are the associates or underwriters for the insurance agency?
The underwriters are, I have one thing about this contract, I have some signatures here. I can identify Ted Mondale's signature, but his name is not typed out. And
okay.
William J. Lester.
I know William. Well.
Mm-hmm. And they signed under the Metropolitan Sports Facility Commission. As far as the AIA agent, it's really scribbled, but I do see a J in there. I see an E, and I don't want to speculate, but other than to confirm what Ted Mondale said about Mr. Jones being a great help, and I would assume that this is his contract with the stadium.
I think you're going to find out that it is based on additional information and based on a memoranda from Mr. Mondale to the board in its real working session. That is. And yeah. Do we have the dollar amount there, or are they working based on hours?
What they did was they sent me the liability insurance agreement.
Right.
And after I looked through it, it just has the, you know, your standard liability insurance agreement is like $500,000 and et cetera. It's nothing detailed or as far as, you know, the stadium and the numbers that it costs to redo the roof and things like that. And I'm definitely going to have to ask for a request to get that information in full.
Now, what you want now is the Sports Facility Authority and not the old Metropolitan Authority, because mm-hmm. the document you have was a part of the transfer of responsibility, fiduciary and otherwise, to the Sports Facility Authority. And part of the situation was the roof had to do with the liability, underwriting, and et cetera, that was at play. Remember when the stadium roof collapsed there?
Yes.
Season before last. And so a little game is being played. You are not being given the actual information. But you do have, as I can see, you faxed it over to me in Studio B. Yep, you have the signatures. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I have
and
my.
So that's a nice piece of money. And as Mr. Mondale said, I mean, we want to thank Brother Jones for his role and et cetera. You know, what I want to do, really want to, because I understand that there was some body language when I was testifying yesterday morning, but I know the Commissioner of Human Rights for the state of Minnesota was there. I don't, you know, hopefully maybe get some kind of call. Somebody can tell us. How are we going to incorporate that 32% hours worked? How's that going to be done?
Well, you know, here's what I don't understand, Mr. Edwards. I mean, while you were giving your testimony yesterday morning, you had Minnesota Human Rights Commissioner Kevin Lindsay. You had Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights Director Velma Corbell. You had Met Council's Department of Civil Rights, I guess they call it there, Wanda Kirkpatrick.
Office of Diversity.
Wanda Kirkpatrick there and Aaron Kosky. And they kind of sat there with their mouths open because, to me, in my opinion, they don't have a plan. But you have to get back to the original genesis of this whole stadium debacle and how, you know, the citizens of the Twin Cities really didn't have an opportunity to vote. Our politicians, Linda Higgins, Bobby Joe Champion, and others that represent areas like North Minneapolis and poor areas in South Minneapolis did not step up to the plate to ensure there was a process where this wouldn't be happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you have Wanda Kirkpatrick over there. She's making $70 an hour. Besides her regular salary, you have Aaron Kosky on behalf of people of color, who's a white dude, making $45 an hour, according to the contract sitting in front of me. And they virtually have played the good old boys club. They brung in Amy from New Prague, someone that they're used to, comfortable with. And
Kimberly, by the way, Kimberly Horn has a direct relationship with the North Carolina Department of Transportation, and as I said before, has been used quite extensively by HKS as quote unquote a so-called women and small business enterprise.
And also, Mr. Edwards, they have really no way of tracking the construction jobs. You know, just recently in the Finance and Commerce, you know, they, for example, Brooklyn Park gave Target like $2.5 million, and Invergrove Heights gave $1.25 million to Target. And this is that money, you know, they passed that 2010 legislation permitting local governments to direct excess property tax from tax finance to district to private developments. And so it was that temporary, it was for a temporary authority to stimulate construction. And it helped to leverage like $510 million worth of construction projects. But out of there's only numbers available for 44 out of 76 projects. And so when you're looking for that in job and construction jobs, I mean, there's no way of they're not tracking it. Matter of fact, the legislation.
Well, they can't track. They don't have a plan. They don't even have personnel.
And the legislation, you know, did not require them to count, complete, or verify anything. So then again, this is an opportunity. Rather than voter ID and same-sex marriage, why aren't we stomping out there for to make our legislatures be accountable for this heinous operations of not, you know, requiring anybody to verify anything. So we've got all these projects going, all this money's going to them, and yet, you know, the average blue collar worker, yellow, red, black, and white, is not employed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mr. Allen, you're absolutely correct. And as you do that, I will continue to talk in terms of the documentation for people that basically want to say that we're just a bunch of naysayers and troublemakers. Mr. Allen's reflections on the insurance investment payoff on the damage to the roof and et cetera, that can be found, well, officially on the record. You'll have a problem getting to the real meeting. But we would suggest that you review the July 13, 2012 meeting of the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority and look at under action items, item 6, Roman numeral, approving resolution of continued operations. Makes sense to you, doesn't it, Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Continued operations, we talk in terms of the turnover and handoff of money from the old Metropolitan Sports Authority to the new and very, very, very powerful Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority. Again, that's Roman numeral 6, approved resolution of continuing operations. That's where the relationship was finalized with the insurance firm. And that was really the first piece of quote-unquote minority financial involvement, and that will be the end of it also, by the way.
Yes.
Okay? Now, again, for our listeners, that was July 13, 2012.
And, Mr. Edwards, I just want to ask you a question here. On page 5 of the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority meeting agenda, they're talking about PLA. Is a designated to provide a steady supply of skilled labor on complex projects. It says PLAs maximize job stability, efficiency, productivity, and most importantly, minimize the risk of inconvenience to the public that often accompany large, expensive public works projects. But something interesting in that second paragraph on page 5, it says the Metrodome, Target Field, and TCF Bank Stadium were all built under PLAs. So I think that we need to examine, you know, what the heck a PLA is. And if someone's out there that has this information, pick up the phone. And it's under the Affirmative Action Plan 2012-2014.
Yeah, only problem is when TCF Stadium, Target Field, also Target Center was partially involved in that, et cetera, there was no Affirmative Action Plan. In fact, you know, Mr. Mondale, and let me just say this for the listeners, Mr. Allen and I, we really not talked in great detail about this. Mr. Allen and I had a chance to meet with the top officials 2 weeks ago, over 2 weeks ago, with Wanda Kilpatrick there to try to protect her interests. And, you know, Mr. Mondale was really upfront with us when he said, you know, just you need to give us a chance, but there was no plan, and that the numbers were being massaged as it pertains to Target Field. And there was no affirmative action plan, and Craig Taylor is an example, University of Minnesota, and Robert Jones know this, there was no affirmative action plan for the TCF Stadium. And so what you're reading is a process that was put in place to make sure that the bogus, erroneous, and illegal information was properly disseminated. That's the reason that Ms. Corvell was involved in the shredding of thousands of documents on Target Field. In fact, it's also the reason that she's had problems trying to negotiate with the Sports Facilities Authority. There is a $164,000 so-called contract being floated around on the table. Some of the leaders have been meeting. In fact, there was a discussion in Woodbury a couple days ago at Global College, in which they're trying to get the mechanism in place to make sure that they are and can protect themselves with respect to massaging the numbers, altering the numbers, falsifying participation, and et cetera. So that's fully engaged. That's fully at work, if you will. And again, we repeat the meeting held in Woodbury a couple of days ago at Globe Business College, 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, y'all was out there eating them jelly rolls and drinking that good orange juice and et cetera. I got to tell you, Don, and maybe somebody will text you as we've been talking, but that process is reflected, and the challenge of that process is reflected in the action I filed against the Stadium Authority at that time, not the Facilities Authority, not in place, but the Metrodome Sports Facilities Authority building building Target Field, that I was very much aware that scam and scheme was in place, and that was a part of my complaint that was filed that is on record. You know, I put the number in my column in the paper, and so I'm just not about to go back over that. Because what basically happened is the same people that are basically getting the payouts are the same ones that come into the meetings. And we found that out in our meeting, didn't we, Don, with the chairwoman and Ted Mondale, that the fixers basically come in and the first thing they do is that they are told to sabotage and vilify the individuals who may create a problem with respect to, you know, the manipulation of information and et cetera. That's why I want to certainly spend a little time on the 32% hour situation, because there was a classic violation of law and procedure on Target Field. Yeah. And that actually is reflected in a report commissioned actually by the city of Minneapolis with $500,000 of taxpayers' money. In which a very prestigious white, now this is white, these are white now, research entity called NERD out of Dallas, Texas, New York City, and et cetera. Let me do this, Mr. Allen, very quickly. You see me pulling it up over here in studio. We will refer you to the executive summary by NERA Economic Consultants entitled The State of Minority and Women-Owned Business Enterprise, Evidence for Minneapolis, and program recommendations. This document, which has also disappeared, I mean, well, obviously we have it, October 22nd, 2010, for folks out there before you, quote-unquote, go on the attack against the messengers, you need to read the recommendations. Very interesting document. It clearly indicts the city of Minneapolis and the Civil Rights Department under Velma Corvell for illegal activities in the monitoring of Target Field.
And I'm actually going to put that document in the chat room for those of you that actually want to review that. I'll put a link up there, a huge link, but it will take you right through the executive summary that Mr. Edwards is talking about right now for the Minneapolis by NERA. It's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also put a link for the whole disparity study. So you know that, you know, if you look at that, you will see that we have that information also.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
It's done.
Yes, sir. And by the way, just again, for our listening audience, there was a reaffirmation of the reports of April by the National Research by the Economic Research Institute in Washington D.C. in April of 2010, and NERD in October of 2010. May 11th of this year, the National Economic Research Institute issued a second report, just as scathing as it pertains to the fact that African Americans are not allowed to work in the construction industry or any other industry for that matter. In fact, Don, we want to do this. We want to call attention to my paper, if you will, Ben Jolitz of the NAACP, is being carried across the nation on a story on the front page of this Minnesota Spokesman Recorder last week, in which he indicates that Minnesota is one of the worst places in the United States for racial equity. Ben Jolitz, president of the NAACP, came here and thought he was in, you know, 1880 Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't speak much on it, though, Mr. Edwards. I went to the thing at the Hubert H. Humphrey Public Policy office over there, and when they had the press conference, and not a word of that came out of his mouth. He was talking.
Yeah, you know, he didn't do it until he did a interview as he was kind of leaving town before he came back, but with Charles Hallman. It's entitled, by the way, for our national, international audience, National NAACP President Motivates Audience to Action. And activist makes comments to help solve problems facing local blacks. Man, ain't no way in the world that no recommendations going to help. You know, somebody should have sat down with Ben Jolitz when he was here and told him that one of the largest public works projects in the United States, with both private and public money, $1 billion, and it'll be more than that, was at play here in Minnesota and in the town he was in. In fact, at the time they were having the cocktails and et cetera at the University of Minnesota, they could look right out the window at what will be the site of the Viking Stadium, because it will be on the site of the current dome, if you will. He could look right out the window and saw what represented the epitome, if you will, of nullification, segregation, reversal, and denial. You know what? Do you realize that, Don? He could, with a glass of chilled champagne in his hand, he could look right out across the Mississippi. Ooh, the Mississippi River. And saw what will be the site. Well, what else we got, Don? Anybody text anything else to you? They got any questions?
No questions yet, but our phone lines are open. We do have a caller, Mr. Edwards. Stand by.
All right, let's get the caller. We.
Hello, you're live on the air on Point. Mass is calling.
Yes, this is B.A. I'm calling you from the state of Maryland.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Great, great. You're speaking of Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I guess in my history, I had a job offer. I almost moved to Minneapolis in the early 90s. But I have visited Minneapolis, you know, it's a nice town, nice city to visit during the summer. Mall of America was there. I had a chance to take in a baseball game, the new Target Center, Target baseball field and everything. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. Also, downtown area, I think it's Nicolette Boulevard.
Yeah, Hennepin Avenue, that's correct. First Ave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's all. I was very, very, very impressed there. But speaking of affirmative action and civil rights, what happened in Minnesota historically? It has been known that Hubert H. Humphrey in the 1960s was known as Mr. Civil Rights in the U.S. Senate. You've had a black mayor in
two terms, and a black female at that.
And
well,
who's independent there? The wrestler?
Jesse Ventura was our governor about in the 1990s. Yeah, Big Jesse Ventura. He is legendary for having told Negro leadership here, whatever you do, don't come over here and bother me at the state capitol. And they did not. In the 4 years that he was here, he never had a meaningful meeting with black leadership. I got to hand it to old Jesse. He never had a meeting with black leadership in his 4 years as governor, and he sent a message. In fact, he really secretly is the darling and much revered by Democrats and Republicans on how to handle the Negro problem. Jesse Ventura, my man, yeah. Let me just answer the question very quickly, and then also my colleague, Mr. Allen. What happened to civil rights? It never really existed until the skies turned red with fire and uprisings and insurgency and et cetera. there was some promises made for a brief period of time, but then it was back to business as usual. When champions like the late Cecil Newman, the late Nellie Stone Johnson, notice I'm saying late, when those individuals departed from the American scene, basically it was back to business as usual. So civil rights really was not born, but even if it was in its infancy, it was never allowed to get out of the crib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100% with that, Mr. Edwards. And also, if I just like to add my two pennies, you know, here in Minneapolis today, in the Twin Cities today, we have a liberal secular agenda and some policies from people that look like us, but will marginalize certain silos and sections of their own community. So you might be able to write an agreement, a contract, or do some work, and they might not like that because you ask questions, you have an opinion, you have a route that you want to go because of your business or experience acumen. So then you become a combative of these particular groups, as Booker T. Washington put it, uppity Negroes. And so it's us combating back and forth against ourselves, but it's also the DFL infrastructure here, which has put a stranglehold on new leadership. And actually, you know, like Mr. Edwards and I was talking earlier about, you know, this get out the vote stuff or the same-sex marriage and voter ID, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars redirected the whole black community from issues of economic development, jobs. I mean, it totally took them off their square to go after these two things. And so now we have a bunch of organizers with my quotation hands in the air out there on the street, knocking on doors, passing out pamphlets. And when they go home, they probably don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. You know, and so with that said, if we can be puppets that easily. Also, Ben Jealous, the NAACP, comes up here. I went to several press conferences. Not one time out of his mouth did he publicly say what he said in that article to the spokesman reporter. So I'm saying, wow, you know, how much did they pay you to do that? And so, I mean, that's my two cents.
Yeah, let me add this, taking into consideration definitely what you gentlemen have just stated. I agree with you. You're absolutely right. Voter ID is not germane to black aspirations in this country. And yes, we're told by black elected officials, particularly black Democrats, to take up this issue because this issue really concerns Hispanics, immigrants, you know, who are perhaps illegal, whatever. But here's my thinking. Not only Minnesota, but also when I was coming up in the 70s in the state of Wisconsin, these were very, very liberal states. Okay, they had very liberal policies. And then when the blacks moved in, particularly in Milwaukee in Wisconsin, all the liberalism in the 1990s vanished. Okay,
that's right.
And then they became stone cold conservatives in their outlook concerning African Americans. And here's my question, because I don't think we talk about it at all. Are issues that are germane to black, I mean issues that are vertical, that are really going to get us somewhere in this country, are they toxic to good white folk? Because I understand the conservative element, I understand race and all of that, but what I notice is that when you're around this country, when you talk about real, real substantive issues, okay, that would get black folks somewhere, we tend to lose not only the good white folk, we tend to lose Hispanics, we tend to lose gays, we tend to lose the union, all the groups that make up the Democratic Front. We tend to lose all those people, but we're told incessantly that we must pick up their issues and champion their issues if they're our own, and they're not.
Mm-mm. No, you're absolutely correct. And you know, what I will say, number one, I mean, that's absolutely on point, and that you have indicated you're a native of Milwaukee. You must have probably went to North I. But anyways, Rufus King. But anyways, one of the persons who made a statement about the toxicity of issues akin to African-Americans that did begin to frighten, quote-unquote, the white population, was Father Grappi. And, of course, a little bit probably just a tad before your time as a young man in Milwaukee. But when Father Grappi, who's, you know, his ministry was as a priest, was on the south side of Milwaukee, and if you know your history, Milwaukee, south side, terrible place, just like southern Mississippi. But anyways, Father Grappi was the first person I heard doing a visit to Milwaukee way back in those days, in at the height of the so-called insurgency and civil rights struggle. And he made that statement, and I know I was surprised, and I've been surprised on the rare occasions when both black and white make the statement, sir, that you just made about the toxicity of issues that, in fact, we suddenly find out as the sons and daughters of the African that that's not what white folks and other folks feel a compelling interest to do anything about. And that probably is a part of the answer to your own inquiry. That is a part of the beginning of the demise of the African-Americans, you know, thrust for equality, equal standing, and et cetera. That's a heck of an observation, sir, that you've made. Our issues are just a little bit too toxic for America.
Yeah. And I think that this is my boycotting has to be a part of our strategy in this country. We've got to be disciplined with our dollar. If we give our dollars to other people and they use our money to build their communities, to send their children to school, to build a legacy for themselves, while we sit back, sick, broke, hungry, mentally deranged, come on, I don't know what to make of it. And I personally, sir, and I thank you for taking my call here and I'll end here, I have absolutely no confidence, none, in Reverend Al Sharpton, Ben Jealous, Mark Morial, and even some of the most, Louis Farrakhan. To me, he is no longer relevant in my book. To me, black leadership, black people in this country are without a rudder today. And we'll see. We'll see how the election goes, and, we'll see.
Thank you, sir, from Maryland.
Thank you.
All right. Woo, interesting. I haven't heard the term toxic to white America and the national agenda since I first heard it, as I said before, Don, first heard it from Father Grappi at a rally in Milwaukee. Us young Negroes came over from the Twin Cities, you know what I mean, full of fire and brimstone, revolution, and et cetera. And I heard Grappi, and I was impressed by the fact that Father Grappi was not afraid to, wear everything on his shoulders and his sleeves and et cetera about, what his white parishioners were thinking. Don, let me very quickly, because we're coming up on, I want to also do this for, quote-unquote, the listeners that are, really a little terrified to call our local guys. I told you about my knowledge of the plan by HKS, and what I want to do is just kind of thank my friend Mark Williams, Caucasian, who is the principal for Sports and Entertainment Group for HKS, and had a pleasure, visiting them at their facility at 1919 McKinney Avenue there in Dallas, Texas. They didn't know who I was. sometimes you fly in, we make those kinds of clandestine moves. But Mark Williams really appreciated some of the insight, and it started when I talked with him when he was here in the Twin Cities when they were making their proposal, responding to the RFPs and et cetera. That is what Mr. Allen gave me a early indication from this very influential and powerful Caucasian who knew, because the NFL had already indicated they wanted HKS to be involved because HKS is an expert in retractable roofs and et cetera, and that's obviously for another day, but not necessarily for another discipline, because for all these folks that are involved in the architectural piece, they know one of the big issues is the Viking owners want a retractable roof, and it makes sense, as the caller from Maryland pointed out. This is not a pleasant place sometimes in November and December. But again, Mr. Allen, so that folk don't get all disjointed, really appreciated what Mr. Williams shared with us. I won't reveal the name that I've used in presenting myself, But then they have a very, very lovely facility, Don, at 1919 McKinney Avenue there in Dallas, Texas.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything? What else we got, Don?
Well,
I appreciate that caller from Maryland, man.
And we have a call. We have another caller. A couple callers.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Cut me off anytime we have a caller. Okay. Go right in. I'm sorry, Don. Sorry, caller.
Go ahead, 702. You're live on the air.
Hey, this is OP. How are you guys?
Okay, OP.
Real good, OP. What's up?
First-time caller. Your show is very interesting. But I haven't seen you guys talk about the new up-and-coming player, Jim Russell.
Okay. Jim Russell.
Okay, we don't know Jim Russell. Give us a quick background. We've got about 5 minutes. Who is Jim Russell?
He's a defense for the Minnesota Battletoads.
For the
He has over 9,000 tackles. Over 9,000 tackles. I know that sounds silly, but it's true.
What sport does he play? First of all, what sport are you talking about?
The Minnesota Battletoads.
Oh, this is a semi-pro team.
Yeah.
Yeah, semi-pro team playing in the old Central League. Okay. You got a couple franchises in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, I think, and somewhere in southern Minnesota. Okay. Yeah, well, tremendous. You know, in the case of him, I hope that Leslie Frazier and the Vikings take a look at him or another team in the NFL, maybe put him on their practice squad. If a guy's made that many tackles, even playing semi-pro ball, hey, he may have a future. How old a person is he? How old is Mr. Russell?
Oh, well, I was just wondering, what do you think about My Little Pony?
My Little Pony. Now, that sounds like a name that came out of the comic books. Appreciate you calling, my man. Take care.
Okay, we have another caller here.
Okay, let's get him if we want to play these games.
Yeah, you're live on the air. Can I help you?
Who are you talking to?
Okay, we're not talking to you. You're live on the air. Can we help you?
Turn the radio down.
Yeah. Okay, let's... Hello? You're live on the... Yeah, you're on point. Can we help
you? Hi, I just want to say, NERGA!
Okay, real good. You know what happened? You know what he did?
Yeah.
He talked about who his mama's man was that conceived him.
Yes, he did.
That is a bright individual that just called us. Hey, buddy, we appreciate it. His daddy was a NIG. Ain't that something? And his mammy didn't tell him. Ain't that something? His mammy never told him.
Edwards, since that caller from Maryland called.
Yes, sir.
That room, it has over 150 people in it. And they're all, like, upset about, you know, us talking about black issues and toxicity and things like that, and they are just off the chain. This is hilarious. This is what happens in America, you know?
Go ahead.
I'm done.
No, go ahead. Our black listeners need to know, because this is what we are attempting to reveal, and we are, in fact, are. Man, Billy Bob, want to thank you, man, for being in the chat room. By the way, I have some of my Billy Bob friends out there in Sandpoint, Idaho. You know, I've received a couple texts that they're listening, all pumped up. The Aryan Nation and those groups. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. That is fascinating.
Yeah, the chat room just got pulled. I'm actually kicking a couple of them out right now.
Gotcha.
Because they are, like, just, it's ridiculous. It's kind of funny.
They haven't taken their Prozac, have they?
They haven't. No,
they really
haven't.
Need to take their Prozac.
Okay,
what we're going to do for Billy Bob next week? We're going to talk about the same thing, Billy Bob. We're going to talk about those issues that are so toxic to those of you in white America and your quote-unquote Negro proxies that you just can't handle it. But now here's what you do. Before you call us,
Mr. Edwards,
take some Prozac, okay? Get your mind sedated, all right? Because you're talking to two of the smartest, if you will, in the media world, okay? Yeah. Just like the clown that called talking about some football. Dummy, get you a sports encyclopedia the next time you call us and try to have an intelligent conversation. What else we got, Don? We got the last 5 minutes, man. What we got?
We have a couple more local calls here. Let's try to get them on.
Oh, let's get a local call. Let's see what we got there.
You're live on
and
point.
And we're at 354.
You're live on point. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Tanya. Hi, Donnie.
Tanya, how you doing? Tanya,
and this is Ronnie.
Hi,
there's Ronnie here, too. Ronnie's here, too.
I know. Hi, Ron.
Okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
My
what can
question
we do?
Is this. I've been listening to your show, and that and my thing is, when this Viking Stadium, when the bill finally passed our legislature, many of the people who signed on, like Senator Higgins, Bobby Joe Champion, and a couple of others, okay, Don Samuels, I can go on and on. Now, they all have been on record saying that they were made sure that there would be provisions in that bill, and thus they would have to be executed, that required that stadium to hire a percentage of minorities. I can take your response off air, because what you just revealed contradicts what they have been saying in the community. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Edwards, before you answer that, we have one more local call.
No, go ahead, Don, because the calls are important.
Okay, you're live on the air, 952. Hello.
You're live on the air. Go ahead. You're talking with On Point, Mr. Allen and Mr. Edwards. I guess they have nothing to say. Okay.
They have nothing to say. All right. We got another call, though, just to go interrupt, because we're down to what, Don, the last 3 minutes?
Yes, we have 4 minutes, 8 seconds.
Okay. Okay. Any other calls?
No other calls. Go ahead.
All right. One of the things I like to suggest is that in a doctrine of transparency and fairness, that we probably invite within the next couple of weeks, about the same time that they will have selected the general construction manager, that we invite the chairwoman and Ted Mondale to join us. They should be able to, you know, access by that time, and kind of give us a indication of how what the last caller just said to us, how the provisions of expectation will be enforced as it pertains particularly to the 32% hours worked for minorities and women. Who will review that? Mr. Allen was present. He had the opportunity to hear my testimony yesterday, and Mr. Allen knows that what I'm saying is consistent. I asked this question of the Sports Facility Authority, and, of course, Mr. Allen, you realize there was just a kind of a nodding of head, but there was no verbal feedback because they didn't want to be on record as saying how they were going to do what they needed to do. But, you know, by the way, let me say this very quickly. I know we're running out of time. Mr. Allen and I were present, Wanda, so you know this and your buddies can report. We were present with a member of the Met Council's Board of Governors. And when we asked him at a meeting at the Urban League a couple weeks ago how all this information was being reported, including oversight, because that's the word was used, he didn't even know what we were talking about, did he, Don?
No, he did not.
Didn't have a clue. So, Wanda, you better get ready to make a report to the Met Council. Maybe you can do it through Mr. Cunningham and talk in terms of what the last caller just said. Where is the plan?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying, Don? Where is the plan? There is no plan.
We have another call, Mr. Edwards.
Get it. We got enough time. And we may have to stream then, huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Go ahead. You are here. We hear you loud and clear.
All right. Minister K.G. Wilson here. Wanted to apologize. I was supposed to call you at 3 o'clock when we had got started, so I stepped out of the movement meeting over here in St. Paul to call two of my favorite people.
All right. Minister K.G., let me just say this so that our listening audience across the country and across the nation, our joint condolences to you on the loss of a member of your family as an outgrowth of violence once again here on the streets of Minneapolis. And so my sincere condolences to you. And also, I'm quite sure, Mr. Allen.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And, we appreciate you calling in, KG. We have, like, less than a minute of the show remaining.
Okay.
And maybe, like, for next week, you call like at the top of the hour, and we'll go ahead and we'll go into it in detail with you about
yes,
what's going on in Minneapolis. Would that work out? Would that be okay with you, Mr. Edwards?
Yes, sir. Just one quick question in 40 seconds, Mr. Wilson. When is the funeral and the services?
I haven't found out yet, but I definitely will let everybody know as soon as possible. But as quickly, real quickly, just to keep the family in prayers.
All right, we will do, sir. Thank you. All right.
Well, Mr. Allen,
Guess we'll wrap it here.
Fabra. We're running down the last 30 seconds. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to On Point, broadcasting live from the Apple Studios in downtown Minneapolis, overlooking North Minneapolis, that hasn't got a penny from the stadium, money, or jobs. With that said,
God bless Black America.
God bless it. Okay, here we go.
Take care.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
All right.